Today is Rosh Chodesh, we all know, is Rosh Chodesh Av, Menachem Av. Today is the yahrzeit of Aharon HaKohen. And that is in this week's parasha. It always coincides with parashas Rosh Chodesh Av, always falls out the same time of parashas Matas Maaseh. In parashas Matas Maaseh, we learn about Aharon went to Hor HaHor and was nifted. So it's talking about yahrzeit. Aharon was Oyev Shalom, Roidev Shalom. During the 9 days, 3 weeks, the bias was chora because of sinas chinam, machloikis, and Aaron, whose hallmark was shalom, is desperately needed during these times, during the 3 weeks. Okay, let's begin with an idea. I saw this idea brought out in a very beautiful way by Lekach V'Halivuv, by Rav Avraham Shur. And he says something which I think it fits in very well with the events of this past week, the Patira of the Gadol Hadar Rav Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He quotes a Chassam Sofer, very beautiful Chassam Sofer, how he explains the being of Parshas Matos. Vayidaber Moshe es Roshei el Roshei Matos, Levnei Yisraelimo Zeh HaDavar Shetziva Hashem. All the Parshim, they struggle. What's the pasuk? Why when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Klal Yisrael the laws of Nedarim, does he introduce the laws of Nedarim with the expression "Vazeh Hadavar"? And why the Roshei Hamatos? Why could Moshe Rabbeinu just say "Vaydaber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Leimar" like he does in so many other parts of the Torah? And there are many midrashim. Moshe, all the Nevi'im were misnabi with the word "Koyamar." Moshe was misnabi with "Zeh Hadavar." Okay, there are many mahalchim, but let me take a step. Let's just before we answer that question, let's approach this issue from another angle. In the parasha of Nedarim, there are three categories. There is a daughter who makes a neder. There is the category of a wife making the neder, and then there is everyone else. Basically, if a wife makes a neder, what? No, it's not part of any category. An almana or a grusha is in the category of everyone else. Everyone else. There are three separate categories of nedarim: daughters, wives, and everyone else. If a daughter makes a neder, of course, there are many details. There has to be a certain age. Who has the power to annul the neder? Her father. If a wife makes a neder, who has the power to annul the neder? Her husband. If anyone else in Klal Yisrael makes a neder, how can the neder be annulled? Well, not really. You have to go to the Chacham. You have to go through a process of charata. What? Right. When dealing with a wife, it's very limited. It has to be a Naira Hamarasa. I'm not going into the technical details, but there are three categories. A wife, it has to be worked out exactly what age. The age of 12 and 6 months. And we're not going to go into those details, but there are three different categories: a wife, a daughter, and everyone else. Why is it that the wife, that the husband and the father have the power to annul the nedarim of their wife and their daughter? So the Gemara tells us, Chazal tells us, it's very simple, because kol hanoderes al das bala noderes. When a daughter makes a neder, she makes neder on the understanding of a father. These type of people, these very young ages, in these situations, they are kafuf to their husband. They are kafuf, they are subordinate to their father. And they realize they're not independent, they are dependents. And they realize any decision that they make is subject to the approval and the agreement of their superiors. Who is the superior of a young girl? Her father. Who is the superior of a young woman who just got married, a very young woman, as you just mentioned, Naira Hamarasa, and she just got married? She realized she's beginning to start a new life with her husband. She has to make sure that her husband is masking to the vows which she takes upon herself. Kol hanoderes, aldas, balo noderes. And a daughter who makes a neder, it is with the understanding that she will seek the approval of her father. If the father or the husband does not want the neder, it's annulled. Because it was never made lechatchila unless they would agree. It's a built-in condition into the neder that they should accept, they should be masking to the neder. Now, what about everyone else? Everyone else in the world is dependent. You have a person, every person in the world does whatever they want to do. They make nidar. So this is what the Torah is telling us. Dovar shahaya bichlal. The yatsa menach, well, actually the other way around. Being that nidarim of everyone else is also part of the set of a daughter and the larger picture, a daughter and a husband, that teaches us that the reason why a chacham has the power to be mater neder is because deep down inside, every member of Klal Yisrael recognizes that there are leaders, that there are chachamim, there are great people to whom we are dependent on. We are kafaf. Although a person is wealthy and independent and is smart and successful, there's a concept, you always ask me this question of Das Torah. Right? You always ask, there's a concept that we recognize there are Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders, they are wiser, they are smarter, they are in a position of authority, and the average person humbles himself to their authority. Therefore, just like a young girl who makes a neder recognizes that her decision is not final, it's subject to the approval of her father. A wife, when she makes this, she recognizes that it's subject to the approval of her superior, her father. An ordinary person in Klal Yisrael, deep down inside, recognizes there are chachamim, there are gedolim, there are great Jewish leaders, great Jewish authorities, and his plans in life, his decisions, are subject to their approval. Therefore, that is why one goes to the chacham for hataras nedarim. Now, it's a little more complicated. By a wife, by a husband, and by a father, you don't need a charata. You don't need the daughter or the wife to say, you know, I've changed my mind, I didn't realize. You don't need any expression of regret. When a person goes to a chacham, he needs to express remorse. But, what? Yes. The hataras that we do bezman hazeh is not a real hatar. It's just a token. It's a token, symbolic. We make nidarim for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's more of a symbolic type of thing that we do. But technically, we're dealing with a bez. And you go into a chacham, and the chacham, you have to express remorse. But the remorse that you express is not enough. The reason why the remorse allows the chacham to matir the neder is because just like the daughter and the wife are kafuf to their superiors, every person recognizes that there are great people out there. There are great Jewish leaders who are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have the ability to guide us in life. And that recognition is what empowers the Chacham to be matter the neder for the ordinary person, like a husband and like a father can do for his wife and daughter. That now therefore with that idea in mind. First, before we go back to the pasuk, I'll give you an example. Rav Shuri gives a beautiful example. We know the famous tragedy, the daughter of Yiftach. Yiftach HaGiladi, it was the Haftarah 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, right? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Chukas? So 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago we read about the daughter Yiftach HaGiladi. What happened? Yiftach went to war and he made a neder. And the neder was the first thing. The first object, a thing that comes out of my door, the first living thing that comes out of my door when I return home, will be a carbon to Hashem, if Hashem will allow me to be successful in battle. That was the neder that he made. You're allowed to make a neder at a time of tzara. And to his great dismay, who came out to greet him? His daughter. He was expecting an animal should come out of the house. His daughter came out of the house, and He had to offer his daughter as a sacrifice to Hashem. What does that mean? We do not know. Does it mean literally that he offered her as a sacrifice? There are many, many opinions in Chazal what it means. He did, he did not. She had to go into isolation. He spoiled this for the rest of her life. Why couldn't he be Matan Eder? Why couldn't he be Matan Eder? So the answer is he has to go to the Chacham, the Gadol Hadar. Who's the Gadol Hadar? The Gadol Hadar is Pinchas. At that point in time, who was the living Gadol Hadar in Eretz Yisrael? It was Pinchas. That is who he should have gone to. But he didn't. Why not? Because he felt he was the Melech, or the Shefet, Pinchas should come to him. Pinchas should come. It was covenant. And Pinchas saw there was an Eitz Tzara. Pinchas felt, I'm not going to him. Let him come to me. So there was a covenant battle between Pinchas and Yiftach. Yiftach said, let Pinchas come to me. And Pinchas said, let Yiftach come to me. And in the meantime, no one came to each other. And his daughter suffered as a consequence of this battle over covenant. So the Mefarshim asks, there are two major issues. Why didn't Yiftach go to Pinchas? That's an issue. We're not dealing with that issue. But what? You know, you're dealing here with a human being, with the daughter. Why didn't Pinchas go? Let him go. Let Pinchas be meichel his covet, and let Pinchas go to Yiftach. Then they'll have a conversation, and in the process, leave out to the neder. Okay, I'm only dealing with one side of the equation. But why didn't he do this? What was his reasoning? The answer is because it won't work. Once the whole Hataras Nedarim will be invalid. Once the whole essence of Hataras Nedarim, according to the principle that we've just expressed, a person has to be kafuf to the Gedolei Hadar. Just like the reason why a father and a husband has the power. Why do they have the power to be mad at the neder of their daughter and their wife? It's because kol hanoider aldas via noideres. Kol hanoider han aldas balo noideres. There's a built-in condition. I recognize my father, he's my superior. I recognize my husband, he makes these decisions. Whatever I do is contingent on his approval. When an irregular person, no matter how successful and powerful, if he wants there to be Hataras Nedarim, there also has to be a recognition that there's someone greater. And the Chacham is my superior. If Yiftach is not going to humble himself to Pinchas, it's not going to work. If Pinchas will come, it'll ruin it. Fine, here I am, the Chacham. I have come to you, Yiftach. I'm willing to be matir the neder. It's null and void. It's invalid because you have not expressed your acknowledgement that I'm kafuf to the Chacham and kol hanoider aldas a person that's greater. It would not work. That is why it wouldn't help for Pinchas to come. That's at least what he felt. Chazal still criticized him. That's an approach to understand the cheshbon of Pinchas. Chazal still criticized him. What? Pinchas. Why didn't Pinchas go to Yiftach?
Who needed?
They both needed what?
Actually, the daughter needed it.
But exactly, Yiftach needed. So Pinchas should
be waiting for the doctor to come to me. I'm sick, I have to go to the doctor.
You're right, we're not dealing with that side of the equation. You're right, there's a problem both ways. There is two problems. Why didn't Yiftach go to Pinchas? But there's another issue. This was well-known Klal Yisrael. If there's a big doctor, and the doctor knows that he has the refuah for a man that's dying, and the man that's dying is just too proud to come to the doctor's office, but the doctor knows good and well that the person is dying, so the doctor should be moichel on his covenant and come to the patient and give him the medicine. Okay, so it's not the right thing. You come to me. That's the way things go. The patient comes to the doctor. But in this situation, no, we'll fight about the covenant later. Let's first save the life of the victim. So let's deal with this side of the equation. Why didn't Pinchas go to Yiftach to be matir the neder?
This is the son of Avraham's boy.
No. This is l'chayyur the Pinchas from the parasha. From Pinchas ben Lozer ben Aaron, he lived very, very long. Right? This is not that's the Pinchas. What? The Gemara did find fault with both of them. The Gemara, Chazal criticized both Pinchas and they criticize Yiftach.
What was the
question? So the question is: how come Pinchas didn't do it? So didn't Pinchas know that he would be criticized? So it's not a good enough answer. I gave you a good answer. I'm very impressed. You like the answer so much. But the Farshim said, even though it was a good answer, it's not an excuse. He should have still gone, and in the process of going to him and communicating with him, Yiftach would have humbled himself and would have seen that indeed I should humble myself to this great man, and then it would have been a valid, it would have been a valid Hataras Nadarim. But what was his chet? Why didn't Pinchas go? So the one approach is, the reason why he didn't go was because it would be an invalid Hataras Nadarim. Just like we hear these horror stories today about conversions. Geirus. Is it a good Geirus? Is it not a good Geirus? Is it a good get? Is it not a good get? We hear these terrible horror stories where it's not done. Kedas, Moshe, Yisrael, all of these things. Yiftach felt it would not be a valid Hataras Nadarim because built into the din of Hataras Nadarim is the fact that the one that's seeing Hatara should be submissive to the one they're coming to, just like the father and the husband. Now with this idea, let's now go back to the Chassam Sofer. We can now appreciate the Chassam Sofer's words in the beginning of this parasha. Vayidare Moshe. Some, that's a different issue. That's a Gilodi. That's a different issue. That's a topic in itself. That's a separate issue. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi in Chanami? Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas. That's a separate issue. And let's go back to the beginning of the parasha. The parasha is Vayidar Moshes El Roshe Matayis Levnei Shalimo Zeha Devar Asher Tziv Hashem. Why did the parasha begin with this unusual expression? The answer is according to the Chassam Sofer, Vayidar Moshe El. El does not mean to, according to the Chassam Sofer. El means concerning. Vayidaber Moshe, Moshe spoke, El Roshe Hamatos. This is the Chassam Sofer's interpretation. This is a drush. It's not necessarily the Pshut Shel Mikra. Moshe spoke concerning the Roshe Hamatos, the leaders of the Jewish people, concerning them, Levnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. He told Klal Yisrael, let me tell you about your leaders. Let me give you insight into who they are. Leimar, Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Whatever they say, they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your question, Das Torah. Whatever they say, Ze hadavar, their words are the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Why is he giving this introduction? Let's also review the sentence. It doesn't fit so well into the words of the pasuk. You have to play around. This is a Chassam Sofer. I'm not making this up. This is how the Chassam Sofer interprets the pasuk. Moshe taught Klal Yisrael about their leaders. Your leader is not just a politician. He's not just a figurehead. The leaders of Klal Yisrael are holy people. They're people who are steeped in Torah and Yerushalayim. And when they tell you something, it's with hashkocha. It's with Yerushalayim. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu is with them. He's inspiring them. He's guiding them. And when they tell you something, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is speaking to you through them. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them this in the beginning of Parashas Matos? Exactly to explain why they now have the power to be Matar Yerner. Just like the father and the husband have the power to be matir the neder of their daughter and wife, because kol hanoyder al das balo v'yovi noyderes. Likewise, when you make a neder, now that you appreciate that your leaders, the Gedolei Yisrael, they are Hakadosh Baruch Hu's representatives, they are on a different level. You recognize that when you make decisions in life, it's contingent on their approval. Because they are speaking, they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have this humility, and you're submissive to your leaders, now, al pi halacha, when they release you from the neder, it will work. Like we explained with the whole thing, Yiftach and Pinchas. Now, it will be effective, the Hataras Nadarim. But that's essential. For the Chacham to be matir, it's essential that you recognize who your leaders are, who the Chachamim are. If you don't have that appreciation for the leaders, then it's nonsense. It's worthless going to the Chacham because you never had that, you never thought in your mind that it's contingent upon their approval or disapproval. Okay, that is one idea. Now let's go to another idea. What? The Chachamim are the spiritual authorities, yes. Alright, I don't know where I need my notes. Let me see if I have it over here. I have no idea where it is. Okay, so let me try to call for memory. Let's deal with the Masos. Okay. Masos, there are 42 Masos. Klal Yisrael, they traveled in the Midbar, they made 42 stops until they came into Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tell us, Maisa Avos, Simul Abanim, the 42 journeys of the Midbar correspond to Klal Yisrael's wandering among the nations of the world during time of Golus. Golus, we all know, now coming Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael was expelled from just about every single country in the world, except Baruch Hashem America. Baruch Hashem, but we go through Europe, go through every single country. France, Germany, I mean, Spain, you go through all the whole, there's a long, long list of countries, and every point in time in the Middle Ages and later, they were expelled, they traveled from place to place. All of these various expulsions and travels of the Jewish people are all hidden, alluded to in the 42 journeys of Bnei Yisrael, the Masos. The Masos, people, the words Eile, Masei, Bnei Yisrael. And it's a very beautiful Remes. I'm sure you know the Remes.
Somebody emailed me the Remes this week. Yeah.
Eile, Aleph of, is the Rosh Tevis of Eile, Masei, Nish. Eile is Edom. Mem is Modaif, Masei. Bnei is Bavel. And Yisrael is Yavon. There are Dalid Malchios. There are four different, even though during Yavon we were in Eretz Yisrael, and even though Modai was the one who told us to go back to Eretz Yisrael, but it does represent Golus, and these four letters represent the history of Klal Yisrael and Golus, and that is what's alluded to in these 42 Masos.
Megala
Amukos.
What? The source was the Megala Amukos.
Megala Amukos. Eile is Edom. Masei is Modai, which is short for Modai together with Yavon. Parsa, right? And Bnei is Bavel. And Yisroel, the Yud, is Yavon. The Dalad Malchios, these Masos are, it's all hidden to here in these journeys. Yavon, the Yud of Yisroel. What?
Avon and Yudzeh to be memorizing the Yavon.
Okay, but that's the Remes. Now, during the 3 weeks, how many days are there in the 3 weeks? There are 21 days. How many Onos are there in a day? Two. Every day there's day and night.
Yeah.
The day is divided into two parts. 21 multiplied by 2 is 42. How many journeys were there in the Midbar? 42. The 3 weeks, the Bein HaMitzarim, from Shiva Asa B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, there are 42 onos. There are 42 segments of time. The 3 weeks captures Golus. That's what it's all about. It captures the Tkuf of Golus. And Golus is captured in the 42 Masos. And that's why these two come together. Another remes, just these are the remes. Another remes we have with Moshe Rabbeinu. All of Golus is also hidden in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, Klal Yisrael, the first time they went to Golus, they went down to Mitzrayim. They were there for 210 years. 86 years was Shibut. They were really supposed to be there for 400 years, but we reached such a low level, Hashem had no choice but to take us out prematurely. And because we were taken out prematurely, we have to compensate with the long Golus that we are in today. It's a very common approach to understanding Golus and Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the redemption from Mitzrayim represents the redemption from Golus. Yetzias Mitzrayim represents coming out of all of the four Golios of Edom, of Bavel, Modai Uparas, Yavon, and Edom.
In what sense does it represent?
What?
In what sense, in parallel?
Geula. Geula represents redemption. Yitzias Mitzrayim was our first redemption, or was meant to be the ultimate redemption. It's our whole prototype of redemption. Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole formation of Klal Yisrael is built upon Yitzias Mitzrayim. That serves as a paradigm prototype, a marshal for the ultimate redemption which will come Yimos HaMashiach, and the ultimate redemption is taking us out of really all four, because it's not, we wanted to spunk about this, it's not that we go out with that there are four separate Golios. Each Golos is built upon its predecessor. It multiplies exponentially with each step in Golos. But the point I want to make here is, I don't know who this could be, this also comes from Gala Mugos, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruited Moshe Rabbeinu to be the girl Rishayim, to redeem Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, so Moshe said to Hashem, what's your name? When I come to your people, they're going to ask me, Mashmi Mo Emor Lohem, what should I tell them? So Hashem said, my name is Eker Asher Eker. Which literally means Eker, but which literally means I will be with them, I am with them in this tzara, and I will redeem them, and I will also redeem them from the tzaras they're going to have in the future of Bavel, Modei Paras, Yavon, and Edom. Eke Asher Eke. I am with you in this tzara, I will be with you in the future tzaras. Moshe complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's enough dial at tzara b'shaita. It's enough to deal with what we have at hand right now. Why do I have to go tell them that it's going to be a future tzaras? So Hashem said, Moshe, you're right. Don't tell them the second part, just tell them Eke. You need not say Eke Asher Eke. But what is the gematria of Eke Asher Eke? What is the gematria of Eke? 21. What's Eke Asher Eke? 42. So Eke Asher Eke represents what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, do not worry, although that you're going through difficult times, you're going through galus, do not worry. Eke Asher Eke. I will take you out of all of your difficult times, all of galus. And what is galus? Golas is always captured in Mem Beis 42. The gematria, the Shem Hashem. I'm not a big gematria person. It's very unusual for me to tell you gematrias. Trust me. I totally turn off when I read gematrias. But this is so good. Eke Asher Eke is the Shem Hashem that will take you out of Golas. That is the gematria of 42. 21 multiplied by 2. 2 times 21. And what are we in now? We're now in the 3 weeks. 21 days. 21 days has two parts, day and night in Golos. You know, sometimes there are good times of Golos. There's light in Golos sometimes. And there's dark in Golos. There are different kufis of Golos. A cycle. Light, dark. The light represents times where it's a little bit easier, relatively speaking, to the darker times. And there are a total of 42 times. That's Golos. Eke Asher Eke, Hashem will take us out of all of these difficult journeys of Golos. Now, to elaborate upon this, I have something which is a little drush. We know, going back to Parshas Nosa, we read the words Vayehi bin Soa Haron Vayom Moshe, and we discussed at great length. Then when we learned Parshas Nosa, why is it only two psukim? There are two psukim Vayehi bin Soa Haron, 85 letters, and it's surrounded by two upside down nuns. And Rashi tells the reason why they're upside down nuns is because to be mavul bein puranos l'puranos, Yisrael committed two sins, they ran away from Matan Torah, and then they complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that we should not have two sins next to each other, so Hashem was mafsid with the psukim vayihi bin sohara. And being that there are two nuns, it's considered to be a sefer by itself. And we discussed this, that they're supposed to be in the Torah 600,000 letters in the Torah. This is going back, we discussed, and the reason why there are only 85 letters, and we only have approximately 300,000 letters. What happened to all the other letters? All the other letters are what we should have listened to at Har Sinai. We are Tinuk HaBoreach Mibeis HaSefer. Class ended early, and we never got a makeup. We never were able to make up what we lost, and everything that we lost was meant to be in that little parsha in Vayehi bin Soa, and that's where all the letters are missing. And when Mashiach comes, that segment of the Torah will be restored. It's one approach. But the point I want to make is that Chazal learned from this is that in truth there are seven Sifrei Torah. There are seven Sifrei Torah. That is what Chazal, the pasuk in Tehillim. We of course say there Chamish Chumshei Torah, because being that there are only two psukim, so the two psukim get swallowed up in the larger sefer of Bamidbar. But there are numerous Memori Chazal that say, but Meikar Hadin, there's another Mahalach. There are seven Chavtza. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Chavtza Amudei HaShiva. Hashem quarried seven pillars. What are the seven pillars? Bereshis, number one. Shmos, number two. Vayikra, number three. Number four is the beginning of Bamidbar until Vayihi bin Soa. Vayihi bin Soa is number five. From after Vayihi bin Soa until the end of Bamidbar is number six. And number seven is Dvar. Seven. Chavtza Amudei HaShem. Some farshim go further to say that is why there are seven neros on the menorah. Why does the menorah have seven neros? 7 days of the week. There are seven forms of chachma. Torah is the center. There are six branches, six levels of chachma, which all come into Torah. Many, many mahalchim. But one of the approaches to explain why there are seven branches on the menorah is it corresponds to the seven books of the Torah. Chavtza Amudei HaShiva, Bereishis, Shmos.
Or
is Torah. There are seven books of Torah. Even though, what? Okay, there are two different mahalchim. There's Chan Moshe and Chan Ami. There are different approaches. There's five. Practically speaking, we only, because there are only two psukim, so it's swallowed up. But there's another mahalach that there are really seven. Now, taking that to be, so I want to bring out something which I find that to be very interesting. On the menorah, there was one ner that was called the Ner Ma'aravi. What is the Ner Ma'aravi? The western lamp. Which one of the seven neros was called the Ner Ma'aravi? There are two opinions in the Gemara. It all depends on how the menorah was positioned. Was the menorah positioned in the Mishkan, the Mikdash, from Tzafon to Darom, from north to south? Then the Ner Ma'aravi was the center Ner. That's called, it's why is it called Ma'aravi? It pointed, it's in the center, and it pointed towards the west. Ma'aravi means to point towards the west. The Neros were arranged from north to south. Ma'aravi means pointing to the south. But there's another opinion in the Gemara. Another opinion in the Gemara says, the reason why it's called the Ner Ma'aravi is because the menorah was lined from west to east. East to west. Which one is the Ner Ma'aravi? It's the second to last. Not the west, the second to last. It's a Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Menachos elaborates the second to last Ner from the east. What is called the Ner Ma'aravi. The second, why from the east? Is this because it is the first one west from the extreme east. When you enter the Heichal, you see in front of you the seven Neros lined up in front of you. The first one you see is the easternmost lamp. The second one is the first one that you can call west. So Gemara. The Gemara, Darash and Pesukim. Clear as day. There's no one that disagrees. If you hold that the menorah was lined up from east to west, picture yourself entering into the Heichal. You see in front of you the Paroches. On the right side you see the Shulchan. On the left side you see the menorah. And the menorah is straight. The Neros are lined up in a line in front of you. The first one you see is the easternmost lamp. The second one would be the first one that we can call the west. That was called the Ner Ma'aravi. What do we know about the Ner Ma'aravi? The Zman Sheb Mikdash HaYakayim and Klai Yishol Dung Return Shal Mokam, they would fill up the Ner Ma'aravi with the same amount of oil that they filled up the other Neros. But a miracle happened. And the Ner lasted from one day to the next day. They filled up the menorah at night, and it was only supposed to last until the following morning, but it still remained lit the following evening. And from that there, they used that ner to light the other neros the following evening. Chazal comment upon this miracle with the words, this miracle served as edus, testimony, shehashchina shara b'Yisrael. This is the ultimate edus, testimony, that Hashem is resting His Shechina among Klal Yisrael. Because they only put enough oil for it to last for 12 hours, and it remains lit for 24 hours. It's a miracle. Why is Hashem doing this miracle? He wants to show the Shechina is here, I'm doing miracles for you. Now, let's go to the next step. We mentioned that there are seven books in the Torah, and there are seven Neros. Let's now figure out which Sefer corresponds to each Ner. So we'll assume that we'll start closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the first Ner. The first Ner is Bereshit. The second Ner is Shemos. The third Ner is Vayikra. The fourth Ner is the one, the beginning of Bamidbar. The next snare is Vayhi ben Sahara, and the second to last is from after Vayhi ben Sahara to Devarim, which is the part that we are reading this week. Everything that we've read from the end of Parshas Naso to Chazak Chazak Venis Chazek of this week's Parsha of Devarim is the second to last snare. And the last snare, the extreme east snare, is Devarim. So the Ner Ma'aravi corresponds to the end of Chumash Bamidbar. And it is specifically this snare to which Chazal say, Eidos Shehashchina Shere B'Yisrael. Why? Because what is written in this section of the Torah? The 42 Masos. The survival of Klal Yisrael in Golos. The reason why the Ner, the second to last, why from all the Neros, if Hashem wants to show that the Shechina Shere B'Yisrael, so let the middle Ner remain lit. Let the last snare. Why the second to last snare? Why was it precisely this snare that remained lit 24 hours to show Eidos Shehashchina Shere B'Yisrael? Because it's this snare that corresponds to Parshas Matos Masei. The 42 and what are the 42 Masos? Golos. Klal Yisrael is traveling like a peddler in Golos from one country to another country to another country, going here, going there, in a haphazard manner, and we still survive. After all is said and done, we're still here. This is the ultimate testimony. Shehashchina is shor b'Yisrael. What? Come here. The Kruvim. It's another Indian. You're touching on many things, one thing at a time. Okay, I just want to tell you one more idea. Okay, it's not a complete idea. I just find it to be very interesting. It's interesting, not really for this week's Parsha, but it's more interesting. It's just an idea that I find interesting back in Parshas. What Parsha? When Avraham died. Which Parsha did Avraham die?
Well, it's actually overlapped.
The brachos, which Vayozid Yaakov does it?
That's told us.
Okay, back in the here. So here's the question. This is from Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Nissen Alpert, he brings out this point. It's just an interesting idea. We have in this parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to be Lekeim Nikmas Midyan, the Achar Teosef Elanech. I want you to wage war against Midyan. Midian was responsible for the Magefa. Bilam advised Balak, why don't you send out the young women to entice the Jewish people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates the Zima. And when the young men will see these women not dressed properly, whatever they're doing, it will cause them to sin. And when they will sin, then Hashem will get angry and it will be very easy for you to make trouble for the Jewish people. And Balak listened to Bilam, and this is what happened. And Hashem was furious at what happened. And Hashem says to Moshe, I want you, before you die, I want you to take revenge. And after you do this last mission, then you're finished and you can rest in peace. My inyan zeh lo zeh. What does revenge, Midian, have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu dying? So this Nappet says he saw this. He doesn't say where he saw this. He saw this in the Sefer, the following idea, and he liked it very much. And a little bit you can tie it into this, and you can think about this in general in life, what this is all about. Esav and Yaakov. What happened? Chazal tell us. Esav went out to battle. He went hunting. I think he was 15 years at the time, is that correct? 15 years at the time, 15 years old. Twins with Yaakov, and he goes hunting. He comes back home, and he's dying of starvation. He worked hard in the field in his hunting practice, and he sees Yaakov Avinu is preparing lentils. why are you preparing lentils? Halitaini na min adam adam azek yoifanachi. And Yaakov says, oh, you want the lentils? Sell me the b'chara. Sell me the b'chara, I'll give you the lentils. Why is Yaakov preparing lentils? Because on that day, Avraham Avinu died. Sudas Havra, the grandfather, Avraham Avinu died on that day. Chazal tell us, on that day, Esav went off the derech. He went and he did five terrible averos. Why? When he came back and he heard that Avraham Avinu, his grandfather, the great Avraham Avinu, died, he said, "Les din v'les dayan, I'm going off the derech." Question is, what do you mean? Just because he died, he went off the derech? Kachi darka shalayla. Well, he didn't think he was going to die one day. Avraham Avinu didn't live his whole life in preparation for the day that he dies. But it's a chiddush that he died. That's an excuse for Esav to go off the derech? It doesn't make sense. The question is greater than any answer you can possibly give. Okay? I mean, obviously, he wanted to go off the derech. I mean, the Pashut answer is, Esav was not interested in this type of lifestyle. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he was looking for an excuse. He found an excuse, so he went off the derech. Nonsense to say that this is a real reason why you... But even that is not a good enough reason. You were looking for an excuse. You're looking for an excuse. This is the excuse you can come up with because he died. Everyone dies. What's going on? So Rabbi Yisnabel says that he saw in the Sefer that what happened on this? Who was Avinu's arch enemy? Nimrod. That was his nemesis. Zeld is always... There's always the forces of good. You ever watch cartoons? There's always the forces of good. Superheroes, the forces of good, and the forces of evil. There's always this parallel. I don't have to give you examples and show off my bikinis in the world of superheroes. There always has to be a balance. The counterforce. So who was the counterforce to Avraham Avinu? A very great, magnificent, I mean, we're dealing over here with supernatural power. Avraham Avinu was, in Ruchnius, was off the charts. Who was off the charts in the Kochos of evil? Nimrod. We can even be masig who Nimrod was. The power of Nimrod was awesome. And what happened? What did Esav do on that very day? He killed Nimrod. He murdered Nimrod. That's what the Medrash says. He went out hunting. And he succeeded, and he retrieved. He murdered Nimrod. So here, he murdered Nimrod. He came back home to tell his grandfather. Grandfather, guess who died today? Nimrod, your nemesis, your counterforce is gone. You have prevailed. You will preside over the world without the enemy. He was so excited. And we come, so what does he hear? You know who died today? Avraham died. Hashkacha Pratis. Zelu Mazaber Elokim. When the koyach of Ra is no, it always has to be an equal balance of power. But Esav was so disturbed. Why didn't my grandfather in this world, in Olam Hazeh, have the pleasure, at least for a moment, a split second, knowing that Nimrod is dead? We don't know exactly who died first, but even whoever died first, they didn't know of each other. Nimrod did not know that Avram died. Avram did not know that Nimrod died. Esau was coming to bring the report. I'm going to be the bearer of news to my grandfather that you know who died today? Nimrod died today. And he comes... He's not alive. Avraham Avinu already died. He couldn't be saved. Now it's a little bit. That's an excuse. Okay, it's not an answer. It's not an answer. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Shoresh of all Toiv, could there be such intense tester upon him where the great tzaddik Avraham Avinu would be denied a moment in his life, in this world, seeing the simcha that his nemesis is gone? You know, you always hear these stories about people, they're very ill, Rahman al-Utslan, and having the first grandchild is getting married. Or the first, they're expecting a great-grandchild, or a great-great-grandchild. And I just want to live! I just want to live another few days to get to that point. What's the difference? So you get to the one, you'll hear a baby cry. I want to be in this world. In this world, have that hasaga in olam hazeh, that this in my lifetime, my great grandchild was born. My granddaughter got married, the first one. There's something to it. There is something to it. And that is what that was the excuse of Esav to go off the derech by seeing that his grandfather was denied that pleasure. Now we can understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu now we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, before you go, I want to give you the hana of knowing, the pleasure of knowing Midian, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, the one that was responsible for the terrible korban. What happened to Klal Yisrael? They're gone. Noikei nikmas Midian, begin the process of getting rid of them. I want you to have that hana. And then the achar ti'osei fell on them. So this is something to think about. The Olam Ho'emes, they know everything. But there's still something to knowing it in this world. There's something to it. We don't have no hasaga what this means. But you see here, there is something to it.
It's a feeling of achievement, of accomplishment.
Yeah. Okay? Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Have a nice Shabbos.